And I want to look tonight at one event which the Lord spoke on from the past in order to point us and direct us to the future. Matthew chapter 24 and the verse 36. The Lord is speaking of the day of His return. People ask, what is the world coming to? Well, the world is coming to that day when Christ shall come again. Not a doubt about it. The Lord is coming back. One day the trumpet will sound. Time will be no more. Christ shall appear. And speaking of that day, the Lord says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Amen. We will end there, knowing the Lord will bless the reading of His own precious word for His name's sake. Let us seek together the Lord in prayer. It is the increasing trend of this present generation to despise the Genesis account of a worldwide flood in the days of Noah. Modern man thinks that he has successfully proved once and for all that the book of Genesis is a myth, not to be credited by right-thinking people. And so he has set himself to pour scorn and ridicule upon the people who still believe the teaching of the Bible in this matter. The response in some religious circles to the world's contempt has been the misguided attempt to accommodate and conform the Genesis account to the skepticism of an unbelieving world. The result is that the book of Genesis is considered not as a literal account, but as a figurative one. The 6 days of creation are elongated to accommodate millions of years of evolution. Adam and Eve are only mythical characters in a parable, and the flood of Noah's day was, if at all real, it was only a localized event of real no significance. The Lord Jesus, however, did not espouse or advocate such an interpretation. He viewed the book of Genesis as a literal, historical, and accurate account of what actually took place from the beginning of this world and this creation. He taught that Noah's flood was a real and catastrophic event which engulfed the entire world. Added to this, he taught the relevance of that flood to every subsequent generation of mankind. It was an event which typified and prefigured the great and last judgment which God will pour upon this world. The conditions that prevailed before the flood, indeed the conditions that caused the flood, that brought about this judgment that scarred the entire world, those conditions will prevail again at the end of the age, and they will be the cause of ushering in the final judgment of God upon an unbelieving and an ungodly world. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Noah's flood, the flood of Noah's day, is not only history. It is a prophecy. It is a prophecy of what will yet come to pass upon this world. And therefore, It has relevance for every generation of mankind. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. When you read over the account in Genesis, when you survey and examine the things that took place in the generation of Noah's time, you will find there a preview and a prophecy of what will take place at the end of this age. It is this comparison, this parallel, that I want us to consider this evening. In particular, I want to highlight two striking facts, two striking features of the great flood that will be true of the coming again of the Lord Jesus at the last judgment. I want you to notice in the first place concerning this flood that all who were outside of the ark perished. All who were outside of the ark perished. The Lord draws attention to this fact in the verse 39 of this passage that we have read. And they knew not until the flood came, and it took them all away, without exception. The flood came, and it took them all away. All who were outside of the ark perished in the judgment of the flood. It's a statement that points to the universality of this flood. This was not a local event. It was not confined to one specific area of this globe. It was worldwide. It was global. It covered the entire planet. Every inch of soil upon the earth was covered by the waters of the flood. Every country was affected by it. Every nation, every city, every hamlet, every family, every individual was affected by this flood that came in the days of Noah. So it shall be with the coming of the Lord in judgment. The Bible tells us that trumpet sound, He will come to judge the world in righteousness. Every individual shall see Him, every eye shall see Him, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord. For the glory of God the Father, He will come to judge the entire world. Not will be the same. God provided a means of saving, means of deliverance in the building of that great ark. But all the inside of the ark and took them all away without exception. Oh, doubtless there were many distinctions in those days, just as there are tonight in this world. Many in Noah's generation were rich, wealthy. They had accumulated their wealth. They had extended their property. They had amassed all their possessions. But all the wealth in the world could not deliver them from the deluge if they were outside the ark. The flood came and it took them all away. Every single rich man, every man who had made his fortune, every man who had been successful in the world, without exception. The flood came and took them all away. But there were also there those who were poor, some extremely poor. The Lord Jesus said, "The poor ye have always with you." And from that I take it that as long as man has a fallen heart and follows his selfish desires, poverty will continue among the sons of men. And so it was in the days of Noah. For the heart of man was a wicked heart. It was only wicked continually, evil continually. And I'm sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that poverty existed. There was great exploitation. Men were poor. But the fact of poverty itself was not a saving virtue when the flood came. The flood came and it took them all away. The rich along with the poor. There were many distinctions. Some men were learned. Some men were illiterate. Some men were rulers and others were subjects. But all without exception perished outside of the ark. I'm sure that there were different political persuasions. As the world's population grew, many views emerged as to how best to manage the people and to maintain society. And I'm sure that there would have been rival factions quickly formed. But whatever the political persuasion, all perished who were outside of the ark, without exception. It was a society also existing of outward vice. Genesis chapter 6 tells us that the earth was filled with violence. Men were corrupt, men were evil, and that evil seemed to break all its boundaries and all its restraints. Society was plagued by wickedness, by criminality. But when the flood came, it took them all away. Every criminal, every transgressor, every evil man. Every man who had thrown away the restraints of decency and morality, the flood came and took them all away. And yet along with the hardened criminals, there were those who tried to live a decent life. They frowned upon the lawbreaker, the thief and the murderer. They tried to do the best that they could. They sought not to do any harm or injury to anyone. But outside of the ark, they also perished. Without exception. And among the multitudes, there were those who were almost persuaded. They thought Noah to be an honest and an upright man. They saw something different about his life. Noah stood out. Noah was perfect in his generations. His life in comparison to the world that was round about him stood out. It was marked by holiness and godliness. And as these people looked on, they were persuaded that there was something different about his life. And whilst they could not take in all the detail of his message and what he was saying, they found some parts difficult. Yet they were almost persuaded that a great flood was coming. They certainly admired the ship that he was building. They did not laugh at it as others did. They reasoned it out in their minds that if a flood really did come, then this vessel would surely be sufficient to outride the storm and keep all its passengers perfectly safe from the harm. But when the flood came, these people almost persuaded, almost convinced as they were swept away along with the out-and-out criminal, the transgressor, and the open skeptic. All who were outside the ark perished. The Lord Jesus said the flood came and it took them all away without exception. The parallel is clear tonight. The parallel is powerful tonight. God has provided a way of salvation, a means of deliverance from that great coming day of judgment, that day of wrath. Just as the ark provided shelter and protection from the flood, so the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, his atoning sacrifice upon the cross, will hide sinners from the wrath of God against their sin. God has provided salvation. God has provided a way of deliverance. God has provided a way of escape. But let me tell you tonight, men and women, All who are outside of Christ will perish without exception, whether they be rich or poor, whether they be learned or illiterate, whatever political persuasion they may embrace, whether they be out-and-out criminals or whether they seek to live a decent life without harming anyone else, and even those who are almost persuaded, all who are outside of Christ will perish. But let me bring it down to a personal level tonight. If you, my friend, are outside of Christ when that great day of judgment comes, no matter what your background is, you will perish. That is the teaching of the Word of God, the inspired, inerrant, infallible, invincible Word of the living God. All outside of Christ will perish. All who have not received the Savior and trusted in His finished work will perish, will stand condemned on that day, and will be carried away by the judgment of God into an eternity without mercy, an eternity of everlasting perdition. All who were outside the ark perish. But let me come to my second fact tonight. All who were inside the ark were saved. Yes, all who were outside perished, but not all perished. There were 8 people, only 8. I do not know how great the population of the world was at that time, but I've reason to believe it was considerable. But out of that vast multitude, only 8 were saved. Only 8 were safe. Only 8 were secure. The 8 who were inside the ark. They were saved because God had made a suitable and a sufficient provision. The Lord had said to Noah, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood." The plan was designed by God and it was revealed by God to Noah. The ark was constructed and wrought by man by the hands of Noah and his sons. It's a type of the great salvation that God has provided for sinners. That salvation has been designed and planned by God from before the foundation of the world. It is a salvation that has been accomplished and wrought out by the God-man, by the Lord Jesus Christ, by His death upon the cross. They were saved because God had provided a suitable and sufficient provision. They were saved because Noah believed the truth of God's word. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 13, God said, "Behold, I will destroy them with the earth." I will destroy them. The word of God, God had spoken. God told Noah that a great flood would come upon the earth. And Noah believed it. Noah believed it. He did not doubt it. He did not dispute it. He did not query it. He did not deny it. He did not question it. He simply believed what God had said. God said, "Judgment is coming. I will destroy the earth. I will destroy mankind." God said it. And Noah believed it. He believed, and because he believed, he did not perish. Remember what the Lord said in John 3 and 16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Men and women, young people, God has said in His Word that judgment is coming. The day of wrath will surely come. Oh, the world may mock and despise and scorn and ridicule such a message, but that day will come. This is the word of God. It is the word of a God who cannot lie, whose promise cannot fail, and what God says will surely come to pass. There is a day of judgment coming. And you can choose to reject that message. But if you reject it, you will not be saved. Noah was saved because he believed what God said. And the message that I'm preaching to you tonight, friend, is very simple. Believe what God has said. Believe what God has said and act upon it. They were saved because they obeyed God's command. When the ark was finally finished, God commanded Noah and his family to enter inside the ark. Come thou and all thy house inside the ark, into the ark. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. He obeyed the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. Had he not obeyed, he would have perished. Though he had built the ark, though the ark was finished, if he had not obeyed, he would have perished. But Noah obeyed the Lord. It's an illustration of what true faith is. True faith is a faith that obeys the gospel. And the Lord Jesus comes again, he will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that obey not the gospel. True faith obeys. And the gospel says to you tonight that God has provided a Savior who is able to save, a Savior who is willing to save. And outside of him there's no salvation, but all who come, all who believe shall be saved. Just as Noah stepped into the ark, you and I must take that step of receiving Christ as our Savior. Receiving him in obedience to the gospel command. They were saved because God had provided a sufficient salvation. They were saved because Noah believed what God had said. And Noah obeyed God's word. They were saved because God shut them in. The Bible tells us in Genesis 7, verse 16, that when they entered in, the Lord shut them in. The Lord shut them in. It was God's doing. God shut them into the place of safety. All who were inside the ark were saved because God ensured that they would be saved. When that great judgment day comes, all who are in Christ will be saved, will be secure, because God has saved them. The salvation of the Bible is not a salvation that allows any room for man's involvement or man's participation. It's not man giving God a helping hand to save him. It is God who saves. Christ saves. And only he can save a soul from the divine judgment and from the wrath to come. The question that arises tonight in light of this truth is a very simple question. Are you in Christ? Or are you outside of Christ? See the illustration. All who were outside the ark perished. Without exception, they all perished. But all who were inside the ark were saved. Are you in Christ?
Or are you still outside of Christ? The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church at Philippi, in the 3rd chapter of that epistle, in the verse 7, he says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." Let me tell you tonight, men and women, the most important, the most valuable thing is to have Christ, to be in Christ. Everything else is of no significance. What things were gained to me? Yes, there was a time when I placed greater importance, greater value on other things apart from Christ. But there came a day when I recognized that the greatest priority, the most important matter in my life was to be in Christ. What things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, without a doubt, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. This is the most important matter to me, the most important priority in my life. What's your priority tonight? What's your priority tonight, man? What's your priority tonight, lady? Young person, what's your priority tonight? Is it bettering yourself in this world, advancing up the ladder of society? Or is it making sure that you're in Christ, that you're saved and ready for that day? That's the most important matter, that I might be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Are you in Christ tonight? It's a simple question, but it's a question that has eternal significance and eternal implications. All who were outside the ark perished. All who were inside the ark were saved. If you're not in Christ, in union with Him by faith, trusting in His merit, trusting in the efficacy and the value of His atoning blood, then, my friend, you're in a place of great peril. You stand in danger of the judgment. Make haste to Christ. Make haste. The Lord said to Zacchaeus, "Make haste and come down. I've come to save." This is the matter of the chiefest importance. Are you saved tonight, my friend? If you're not saved, I urge you, I plead with you, I appeal to you tonight. Before you leave this gospel service, that you make sure you're in Christ. Perhaps you're saying tonight, "I'm not sure." Well, make sure. You cannot afford to be unsure or uncertain with regard to the eternal standing of your soul before God. Make sure tonight that you're in Christ. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Be saved while there's time. Come to Christ tonight, ere it be too late. The flood came and it took them all away. The day of judgment will come, and it will take them all away who are not in Christ. My friend, you need to be saved tonight. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. Let's bow together in prayer.